Okay, starting at James chapter 3 and verse 13. Yes, we'd sort of been in James chapter 3 earlier on and been looking at the various things that cause problems in our lives, the tongue for one of them. And it's always good to try and tame it now and again and keep it under control and try and say the right things and what have you. It's not always easy, but if we let the Word of God just begin to work in our lives, it does make it easier as we move along. So James chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible tonight. It says, "Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent?" Any volunteers?
No.
No? Okay. "Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with humility, which is the proper attitude for true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourselves in it, and thus be defiant of false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish. For whenever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and self-ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it's undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholeheartedly and straightforwardly impartial and unfeigned, free from doubt, free from wavering and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others.
Amen.
That peace which means concord, agreement, harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fear and agitating passions and moral conflicts." So here James again, he's writing to the new believers in the church in Jerusalem, and he's encouraging them to, as we read last week and talked about last week, keep control of your tongue. Sometimes it's so difficult, it can run on, you can say things and then you just want, oh, I shan't have said that, and try and grab it back, but it's too late, it's been said.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, if you can control your tongue, you've really achieved something, you're doing great.
Yeah.
You know, you've nearly arrived at your destination. Whoa, eh? But well, we all know that that's still going to be a challenge day by day. And then he goes on to talk about our attitude towards others and ourselves. And basically, in verse 14, he says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and envy..." Do you know what that means?
Jealousy is like you see something that you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody else has got it and you're jealous of them and you're wanting what they've got. Instead of saying, well, look, what I've got, I'm happy with.
Mm.
Because so often there's an old English term that they use, keeping up with the Joneses,
mm-hmm.
which really was that the next door neighbour's got more than you and you've got to try and match what they've got and go one better, you know, they've just bought a new car, so you go and buy a new car, and they've gone and bought a big, great big screen TV, so you go and buy one, and it's like, and before you know where you are, you're chasing these things and you're jealous of them, and in the end, so often, it puts you into a debt situation that you didn't see coming in one sense, because you were so tied up and so jealous of what they had got, and instead of being content of where you are and what God has already given to you. And contentment comes out of a personal inner peace. Things don't bring us peace. You might say, well, a nice new car bring me a lot of peace, but the moment it goes wrong we lose our peace.
Once the novelty of the newness of it wears off, then the contentment has gone.
Sometimes we can be focusing so much on things and we lose our sight of God himself. We forget the blessings that God has given to us. God has given to us eternal blessings, and God has given to us and has given to us eternal gifts that will last forever. And the blessings that we get physically on earth are a bonus to us, and that's great because God loves us and he wants to bless us, but our focus should never be on trying to get something from God, because we're approaching God with a wrong motive. We're approaching through jealousy. We're approaching God because we're discontented with our portion of life. And yet, if we will approach God in that attitude of peace and contentment, then God will give to us what we have need of. God knows what you have need of. And if people get jealous of what you've got, then the answer to them really is, get your relationship with God going. Stir up that relationship that you have with the Lord, and let God then begin to pour out his blessings upon you. Because I honestly believe, and in fact somebody said to Grace and I about the situation that we're at now with things, particularly the church, and they said, you do realise that one of the reasons for you being in this building that you're in at this time is because of your faithfulness in what you've done over the years, and also because of the church and its faithfulness in its giving to other needs over the years. And God has given a reward for that. He's poured out another blessing because of. Now, we don't give to get, we give to bless. And in our blessing, we receive blessings back to us. As you sow, so shall you reap. So if you start sowing blessings, you receive blessings back. And if somebody's jealous of your blessings, well, they better start sowing blessings instead of speaking out curses that they so often do. And jealousy and envy and greed are all from the old life. They're from the old nature. They're from the pit. You see, Satan's jealous of you. He's envious of you because you have eternal life. He's jealous of you because you and I can enter into the presence of God. He can't. He's been thrown out. We're invited in. There's a big difference. God says, come on, I want to talk to you. You know, come on, I want to spend time with you. He's turned around and said to the devil, I want nothing ever to do with you. I never want to see you again. You'll never enter my presence again. You know, and he's cast out into outer darkness, because God is light, and he's cast away from peace. That's God is peace. And so he lives in darkness and he lives in torment and he lives to produce torment into people's lives. And so when you and I move away from the promises of the Word of God, move away from the blessings of God, move away from spending time with God, then we'll move into conflict. And so it is so important that as we realise that we need to keep our hearts and our desires motivated correctly. Yeah. Why do you give? Some people, as I've said to you in the past, have been taught, if you give, you'll get back. Well, it's partly true, but if your motivation is, well, if I give to God this, he'll give back to me, so that's why I'm going to give. Well, straight away, the motivation, the desire is all wrong. You don't give to God to get. You give to God because you love him. You love the work that God has invited you to join with him in. And so you give out of that sort of a heart. And God sees what's in your heart. He says, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. And these are the things that we have to realise, that God knows us inside out, basically. He knows us from the outside to the inside, from the inside to the outside. He knows how we think. He knows what we're going to do next. He's seen what we've planned. He already knows what we're planning to do tomorrow. Whether it be good or bad, he already knows. So does he rejoice on what you're planning for tomorrow, or does he frown upon it? Anyway, moving on. So, in verse 14 it says, do not pride yourself in this and be defiant of false to the truth. So, stop being envious, stop being jealous of somebody else. It's not the way to live. Because within that, it breeds discontentment. You then start to become discontented with what you've got. You begin to grumble. You begin to complain. You begin to be a moaner. And it's like, but what we have already is good. So why should we moan and complain? Well, so-and-so's got a car younger than mine, so what? If you go and buy a new one in a couple of years' time, somebody else will buy one younger than yours, and then what are you going to say?
It can be very difficult to get out of that cycle, though, once you've run in it.
If you're in that, it is difficult to get out of that cycle, because it is the way of the world, for a start. It is the way of advertising that, you know, we've already started now Christmas advertising. You need this, and they're bombarding you with adverts of things that it is a must that you should have this. Yeah. You cannot live without this product. You know, how is life going to go on? Will the world continue to turn if you don't buy this product?
A word that we don't tend to use now. The Bible uses the word covet.
Covet, that's right,
That's it, but we don't use that word.
No. You look at some
fashion and all sorts of other things.
Yes, that's right.
That's one way we don't use it.
Covered, it's a good word. Yeah. When you're looking and you're coveting, you're jealous, and you think, I want that, I want that, I want that. And those of you that ever saw The Lord of the Rings, that little gold ring, I want it, it's mine. Do everything in his power to try and get it.
And it brought about destruction. Material jealousies.
No.
Mine's more of jealousy of a friend of mine who's got a friend that I thought was my friend as well. And gets more attention and time, and it makes me...
I think we're on confession night tonight.
I get very jealous of that.
Yes,
I mean, now I shouldn't.
No, true, but
But it's very difficult to stop.
I suppose.
I suppose the girls will probably come across that in school as well.
When you hear stories of girls, you know,
your best mate's gone
for somebody else. And, you know, yeah, exactly.
You're spending more time with that mate than with you.
And, yeah. And yet, you see, in reality, the greatest friend that we can ever have is the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. We know that.
Mm.
But we still have a need for friendship, companionship.
Mm. Yeah.
And that we all suffer to a measure of some sort of when somebody snubs us, cuts us off, or we feel that we're not getting our just attention rewarded back to us in some way. And some of that can be the fact of maybe in the past we've had a bad experience and we've given of our lives so much, and then suddenly we're just discarded.
Yeah.
And you can use the terminology where, for instance, you have a vending machine and you go and you want a drink, don't you, from a vending machine. So when you go to the vending machine, you don't have a cup, do you? The vending machine provides the cup, and the first thing that comes down the machine is the cup. If it doesn't, you're really in trouble, okay? You know, the anticipation is you look and you hear this, and this cup comes down, and you breathe a sigh of relief, there's a cup there. And then it begins to fill it with whatever button you've pressed, and you take out that and you drink and you enjoy that hot creamy chocolate or that cappuccino or whatever it happens to be. And when you've drunk it, that thing that was so important to that cup of tea, coffee or chocolate, whatever it happens to be, you now simply take it to the trash can and just throw it in. You are no longer in love with the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? You've discarded it. It is now of no use to you.
It served its purpose.
It served its purpose. And that's it. But in reality, that cup is still a cup. It's probably still usable.
Just to wash it.
You just wash it, you could reuse it. You know, but, you see. And so sometimes in friendships and relationships, this type of thing happens.
Mm.
People sort of, you become the cup, and you're full of joy, love, peace, whatever happens to be, and they drink of it, and continue to drink of it, until they've drunk you dry, as far as they're concerned, and then you are then discarded.
Mm.
It's painful. Mm-hmm. I've been there a number of times. And you know what the world says, that it's that old saying in the world, isn't it, that they always remember the last good deed you did, and if it's a bad one, well, that's one that we're going to remember for the rest of your life, basically.
You're always good as the last thing.
You're always good as the last thing you did, all right? Mm-hmm. But the most of the time, as you see, people will, you can have done 10 years of good things for this person, and you can make one wrong move, decision, whatever it happens to be, and that's it, you're at it.
But I wouldn't class that sort of friendship as friendship.
Yeah, but if it was something that had gone on for 10 years, you would have classed that as a friendship.
Yeah. But for, like you were saying about the cup, once you've gone past your usefulness, then you discard it.
Yeah.
That to me is not a friendship. And I think that's where I struggle a bit, in that I thought it was a friendship, but maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just, and then you feel like you're being used and abused.
And this is where
and
then.
And I think that's perhaps where my past comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And this is where we have to, if you want, in one sense, we have to begin to fight that through. This is a personal warfare that we have to press through. We have to defeat that enemy of our soul. Because in that, when that begins to happen, that type of thinking and resentment, because it breeds a resentment.
Oh, yeah.
And it steals your joy.
Mm.
When people have just used you for what you are, and then just, no, forget it, I'm finished with you, I'm not bothered about you.
Yeah, well, you've served your purpose.
You've served your purpose, and that's it. They've used you. And as you say, you thought these people were friends. You can think at times that there was a real genuine friendship. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be that they just want you for your money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, okay, oh, they want you because you're useful at doing certain things, and that's great, we'll use mm-hmm. you for that. And when you come to the end of that time and I don't need you anymore, adios, amigo, I'm moving on, I find somebody else.
But true friends are ones that I perhaps won't see or speak to for months or years or whatever.
What are you saying about us?
But then but then you meet up with them again and it's like you only saw them yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what I call true friends.
Yeah. It's not until you get to that point where they start sulking that you realise then that they're not really your friends, but it could have taken 10 years, like you said.
Yes.
You could have got on with them all right for 10 years, then you just do one thing, and you know, it's usually a misunderstanding, isn't it? It's not intended to hurt them. And then suddenly they don't want to know you anymore, they're sulking, and was that really my friend?
I mean, I have identified my problem, and I do, as soon as I know it's coming, I just start praying about it.
Yeah.
And pray it away.
Yeah.
So I'm getting there, but this really sort of brought it out.
Yeah.
This is a little like when Jesus talks about little foxes coming in and spoiling the vine.
Mm.
These little thoughts, these little reminders, these little things that happen. Because in truth, when these things happen, in the overall spectrum of our life and the things that we've done, they can probably be just a small thing.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like that when you get a gnat bite. You know, and you start scratching it. Yeah. And you're focusing on it, you see. Mm-hmm. And when somebody's said something or done something or cut you off, and you start focusing on it, and it's that gnat bite. Mm-hmm. And the thing gets redder and redder, the thing gets bigger and bigger, and you think, God, you know, and it begins to be so painful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this tiny little thing that just poked a little pinprick into your skin. And in truth, sometimes that's what it can be when people do these things to us. And then it's like, hang on. You and me, we have to deal with these things in a right way. And that's not going to punch the lights out for you. You know,
even though you'd love to.
Yeah, sometimes you may feel that way. You know, but then we have to come back to that scripture where the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. That's right, Helen, isn't it? And so when we realise these things, and then we have to hand these people over to God.
Vengeance is revenge.
And so, yeah, vengeance is revenge. I'm going to get my own back on, you see.
You know that feeling.
You know what we mean? You understand? But you see, the thing is, what we have to do is literally we take that person, that situation, and we place it before God.
Mm. Yeah.
And we say, Lord, you need to take care of that.
Mm. I'll tell you a little story.
Mm.
This woman goes to her pastor. She says, I've offended a lot of people with my mouth. So he says, Get a few sheets of paper and tear them apart into little pieces and go round to the door of everyone you've offended and put one piece of paper on each one on their doorstep. And then she went back to the pastor. She says, well, I've repented. I've seen the wrong of what I've done. I've repented of all of it. I'm sorry. So he said, well, go back to all them doorsteps and pick up the piece of the paper then. Of course, I can't. They're all blown it. And the thing is that once you've thrown an offensive comment out, you've offended somebody, you can't recant it.
No.
You know.
No.
So I suppose the moral of the story is try not to offend people in the first place, but you have to. That's where forgiveness has to come in, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And you know, we go back to James 2 when talking about controlling the tongue. In James 3, we're still talking about controlling the tongue. And if we don't, as you say, then it goes out there and it gets scattered and we can never bring them back, can we, in that sort of sense. And that's very true. The best way through it is say, Lord, this is really your problem. I have to let go of it. If I don't let go of it, the thing begins to heat up. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like having an iron. You can hold it while it's cold, can't you? You don't matter where you hold it, you can hold it on that big flat plate in your hand like that, and it's not a problem. But if you plug it in and start to allow something to stir the element up, the atoms up inside it, it will not be long before you have to throw it down, because it will burn and it will leave a scar. Okay? And so sometimes, there are many times even, that if we allow things to, if we don't let things go and give them to God, they leave a scar on us. Mm-hmm. Right? And that is not, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you and I to be scarred. That's why he says, cast all your care, cast all your worry, cast all your concerns onto him, because he cares for you. And he's bigger than every one of our concerns. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what people are going to say about us, because in the end, the only person that has got the final say about us is God himself. Yeah. And so it matters what God says about us. Mm-hmm. And even when we can, and we will go through times of difficulty like what we've been talking about. We will go through times when we're not liked for some reason. We'll go through times when people don't appreciate what we've done. We'll go through times of difficulty in these things. And we have a choice. We either react in a violent way or a nasty way, or we just turn to God, turn to the Prince of Peace, and allow the peace of Jesus Christ to come into our lives, and I'm just going to walk on. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to move on with my life, because, as Bill said, if we've done something wrong, regretfully, we can't undo it. If we've said something wrong, regretfully, at times we can't undo it. The only thing we can do is say sorry, apologise, and try and remember next time we don't make the same mistake. Mm-hmm. But in the same way, if what we've done was wrong and we've asked for forgiveness with a true heart, then the response should be from the other party to administer forgiveness to you. And in other words, what forgiveness does is like having an eraser, and it just wipes everything out, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And says, it didn't happen. Don't know what you're talking about.
God keeps no record.
Because God keeps no record of our wrongs. No. And so when we go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry, God, I did this and this, says, Jesus paid the price for that. Mm-hmm. It's been erased. And God doesn't want to talk about that. God wants to talk about your future. Mm-hmm. God wants to talk about where you're going next and what we're going to do next in God. And this is God at work in our lives. And this is the forgiveness that so often people, and when I say people, I mean, I'm going to refer to Christians, because it is Christians that should have the forgiveness. It's understandable for people in the world who don't know God not to know how to administer true forgiveness. It's understandable. But for those of us that have been forgiven so much and have been exchanged to us the gift of life, then we should be able to forgive. Mm-hmm. And in that forgiveness, it allows us the freedom to walk in absolute peace.
So we've got Christians who will loudly proclaim the virtues of forgiveness, but they're not forgiving themselves. I mean, look how many people who've left this church because of a grudge, and the grudge still exists today. Mm. They're not forgiving. Or whatever it... I mean, it's obviously... It can be their point of view that it's somebody else's fault that's causing them to have their grievance. But because they're not forgiving, they will never come back here because of the grudge they're carrying.
It takes two.
It does.
To have a grievance.
It does take two.
Does it not?
It does,
yeah. Right? I can't say I've got a grievance with nobody. Can I?
No.
It's not going to work, is it? There's got to be somebody who I can connect with and say, I've got a grievance with you. I've got something against you. And there has to be another party involved. Mm-hmm. And if we come together and say, look, this is silly. Mm. This is ridiculous. Mm. This is not godly. This is not right. And we come to a place of reconciling and forgiving one another, coming to that place where it's like, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Thank you. And in that, can we forget about it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, we're reconciled. It's gone. So from this point in time, our relationship moves on. Yeah? That's exactly what God does with us as well. And so it's important that we have to... If the other person doesn't accept it, that's not your problem anymore. Mm-hmm. You have done everything possible to administer forgiveness to them and ask them for forgiveness back. And if they say no, then they're going to have to stand before God. Mm-hmm. And God will judge them on that. You see? Because it's about forgive one another as I, God says, have forgiven you. Do unto others. Isn't there? Does that do unto others? As you would have them do unto you. So I'm not going to forgive them. So what you're saying is then, you don't want anybody to forgive you. Well, you've got problems.
Forgive us our trespasses.
Yes, that's right. When we come to the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us, Lord, the wrong things we've said, done, and thought, as we forgive those that have done it against us also. You know, and that Mrs. Jones, I'll tell you what, you know.
And they can't knock on heaven's door while they've still got a long list of unforgiveness. I mean, they do have to stand before God and say, well, I didn't forgive him. It's their fault, it's not my fault, blah, 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 blah. You're not getting, will they?
Yeah. Well, it says there's no mourners and complainers ever going to get into heaven, and I think there's a few others somewhere in there that...
They're masquerading as Christians. If you can't forgive, you can't be a Christian.
No,
I don't care what anybody says.
You see, James is really got it down to... You know, James has got the fork and the spade out, and he's digging.
Yeah.
You know, he's digging down into the ground and saying, look at all these bad roots. Yeah. Unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness... Jealousy, envy, greed, malice. You know, he's saying, come on, let's have them out. Let's expose them. And let's treat them with the word of God that's like poison to that badness and destroys them and brings out goodness from the soil. And not weeds and garbage anymore, thorns and thistles, but a harvest from that lifestyle. And so it's James is very crucial in the way we look at that and allow it to change us. Mm. It's, and this is what the Word of God is there for. It's there to change us, to make us better, to make us good soil, so that what comes out of us is beautiful, it's fruitful, there's an abundance. But the problem is when that happens, people get jealous. Why should you have all that blessing? And to some degree the answer is, I probably don't know, but we've just allowed the word to start doing its digging and start turning us over and beginning to pull out the weeds and the thorns and the thistles. And so when you're done with it, the ground is so beautiful that a bumper harvest just comes through it. And then people get jealous and say, look at so-and-so, look at what they've got, look at I don't see why they've got it and we shouldn't have it. Mm. Wrong attitude, wrong mindset.
Paul says, godliness with contentment is great.
Mm. Yeah.
See, we're living in a culture of insatiable greed, aren't we, where... People think their happiness comes from getting the next new thing, but when the next new thing comes on, then they want another new thing, and they never get to that satisfaction level, where to contentment comes from being happy with what you've got.
Absolutely.
If something does what I want done, I don't care how old it is, I'm not getting anyone to do what that does. Yeah. Mm. And that's contentment.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think sometimes, it's what you said about people taking offence and that, I think sometimes they might go to God and say, yeah, but look what happened, and you know what happened, and how hurt I was, and how upset I was. You can't expect me to forgive, but God does, doesn't
he? Of course he does.
There's no conditions, there's no way.
That's right.
Back to what we studied, the covenant of.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, God can turn.
God's the example. He forgave the ultimate.
Yeah,
you know,
I was just going to say.
What we ever say?
No, I was just going to say. Yeah, I mean, God could turn around to us and say, "Well, hang on, just do you remember what they did to my son?
Yeah.
Do you think I should forgive him?
No.
But he does.
He does.
That's the absolute.
He would destroy himself.
That is absolute love.
Yeah.
That turns around and says, "I forgive you."
Mm. I sometimes look back on my life at some of the things I've done, and as I read the Bible, I think God's forgiven things a lot worse than anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at David and things like that. You know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Mm. And so we have to rejoice in that, and we have to realise that we can live in a contented lifestyle and still be blessed. One of the things that Grace and I learned, I suppose, 1980s, when we went from earning 100% and went down to living on 20 to 25%, we learned to trust God and we learned to just get along. And do you know something? We weren't unhappy.
Yeah.
And we never wanted for anything. Well, you wouldn't, would you, when you've got a sister like mine? But
nah.
The fact of that, yeah, it was just learning to be content with God and everything that was going on, and God provided. And at times God provided to such an abundance that people got jealous of us. And these people had got a lot more money than us. But they became jealous. And you're like, look,
get alive,
you know, what is wrong with you? I mean, you're earning twice as much as, no, they were earning four times as much as us, and yet they were complaining at what we got. And it's like,
you weren't having to earn it.
Really? Well, that's true, we weren't having to earn it, yeah, and didn't think about that. You see, because you can't earn God's blessings. I said, yeah, that's a good point, that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, none of us can earn God's blessings.
When
none of us...
Think,
go on.
I'm going to say, when you come to think, we all come in with nothing, don't we? We've got everything we've got.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
All,
yeah.
So we come with nothing, we go with nothing, so...
Absolutely. And so, you know, when people start getting jealous of us, it's like, well, simple. Trust God like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Love God like we do. Do what you've got to do with God and your finance and everything else, and watch God work.
Mm.
If you give God 100% yourself, then watch what happens.
Mm.
But if you hold back on God, again, watch what happens.
Mm. Poverty.
Poverty. You see, when you withhold from God, it says then poverty comes.
Mm.
Now, when you give everything, I'm going to say, I mean you, you know, you give yourself and everything about you, everything that you have, everything that you are, actually belongs to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you get that in your mind, get that in your heart, you're on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You're free. Now.
You're free, and the blessings of God just continue. And you see, you never become entangled with this mindset and this heart set, for want of a better word, it's this heart and spirit set it within you from the Word of God. With this in operating in you, you don't get entangled with the things of the world. You don't become sort of entangled in bitterness and jealousy and envy and malice and greed and all these things. There used to be an old chorus we used to sing. I can't really remember it, but Grace used to sing it. tangles I was in. I was born in Tangle Town because of
Adam's sin.
But Jesus came into my heart and untangled every knot. And now I'm free. Free from tangles. And the world is like that. You know, that people's lives are so tangled up with things, and those things are actually holding them down.
So actually, it's relative gratification, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you go out to Cambodia, a place like that, we've got kids living on dustbin tips, waiting for the next dustbin to come and bring them the next meal. Next dustbin lorry brings them their next meal. Whereas in our part of the world, we're worried about because we're in a traffic jam, or vegetables are not cooked well enough, or room heating is not working. You know, they wouldn't even think of moaning about that. So it's just relative.
Yeah. And when you think about our life and the blessings that God has put into our lives, we should be people that rejoice.
We should.
Rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. And so it is important that we move forward in this area, and that we don't let jealousy and envy and arguments, not going to do us any good, because in those arguments and those disputes, bitterness rises up within your heart, and bitterness is a prisoner, and bitterness can cause sickness to come into your body, and can one of the root causes at times for arthritis is bitterness. So it's a seed that creates arthritis, and so it's important that we realise that if somebody's done us wrong, forgive them. Because that way then God can and will bless you.
Yeah. I think it says don't take root of bitterness, so it can take root and really...
Well, that's right, yeah.
There's a lot of destruction.
Yeah. You see, once you start and allow that seed, initially it will start as a seed, and once you begin to fertilise it and water it by meditating on it, by talking about it, you know, this is all the time that you're feeding energy to this thing, then it produces a root, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, until in the end it can overtake you. And there are people that you can just say something to them, and suddenly that bitterness rises to the surface, and they begin to, I've seen it. You know, previously in the church that we were in, I remember one time there were two ladies, and they went for one another. This is after the Sunday morning service, we'd just brought them bread. They were just about ready to tear one another to pieces. And that my young people in the church just said, were like agog and couldn't understand what was going on. And the leadership suddenly disappeared out of the church for some reason. They all had jobs to do. So the youth leader decided, I'll sort them out. So I took a grab both of them basically and said, come on in this room here. And I began to deal with them and speak with them about this jealousy and envy and greed and malice that in the end became nearly violent towards one another. And it can. Yeah. Greed breeds violence. Well, we see it on our streets. For a bit of money, they'll kill somebody. They'll beat somebody to death for a purse. And there might be nothing in it. We see it on the news. And this is this greed and jealousy and envy that goes on. And it brings destruction. So, what James is talking about is still relevant 2,000 years later.
Mm. Well, most all crime is greed-fed, isn't it? Whether it be shoplifting or World War II, it's all... somebody else wants what you've got.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And so, you know, be content with what you've got. And you know, in your contentment, God will bless you beyond your understanding. Yeah. And you'll think, wow, what's happened? How did I get all this? Where did this come from? It's like, well, you were enjoying God, and God just decided to send you a gift, a present. It's like, whoa, it's amazing. I don't know how it happens at times. I don't always understand it. Mary was telling me a story some time back about some money situation that was going on and some property she'd sold. And, you know, because she had a desire to do something special with that money, God got her the best price.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Couldn't believe the price that she, for this land that she'd got. I remember part of the story. And then she also told me about the fact that the exchange rate that she got was amazing. And on top of that, they didn't even charge her any commission.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, wow. And she was able to do and tithe out of all of that to finish a job, to do a work, to build a church. And it's like, because God sees what's in your heart. God says, I can trust you.
Yeah.
Now the question is, none of this is pre-prepared, by the way. We're winging it as the Spirit moves us. The question is, can God trust you?
Test your motives, don't it?
Absolutely. God's going to test your motives. Can God trust you with, let's take money, as we've been talking about greed. Can God trust you with money? Or will you use it? Will you misuse it in your own ends? Or will you use it effectively for the things of God? And in that, you will also have a blessing back. And you can use it on yourself as well. That's nothing wrong with that. But each time, I know we come back to this so many times, but this is a key. This is an absolute key. Always put God first.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot emphasize that enough. God first.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've said to you guys, you know, you talk, oh, I've got meetings out, I've got studying to do and that. And I always, what do I say to you? God first. Put God first and do your studying. And he will make sure that you're successful. Because you see, what you've done is, you've got your priorities sorted out. You're putting God first. You're making sure that it's God first. And everything else comes down after that. And God says, wow, these are my kids. I've got to look after them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be with them. And I'll help them. And so for every one of us, putting God first is so important.
It's our scripture, isn't it?
Yeah, twice today.
Yeah.
But God is a rewarder of diligence.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we were talking just the other night, and you know, 40 odd years now, and we've sought to put God first. And sometimes we've done it passionately, and sometimes we've been a bit weak-hearted at times. But most of the times we've done it, and we've served God with a passion. And in some cases, people have looked at us and thought, you're idiots, you're stupid. That's fine. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. It matters what God thinks towards me now, not what anybody else thinks in the end. That, and again, you see, we're back a little bit towards yourself in this, and it's not wrong. But it really matters. What does God think about us? Because in the end, it is God who decides how we live and breathe. Not somebody else 20 odd miles away or where they happen to live or whatever. They're irrelevant to what God has planned for us, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not even a drop in the ocean, okay? They will not have, if we keep God focused and we focus on God and we keep God in the centre of our lives, they will not have any detrimental effect upon us. Because we'll just, it's like the waves in the sea. Do the waves in the sea stop the boat from sailing through them?
No.
It catches the wind of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we need to do. Catch the wind of the Spirit and let the wind of the Spirit blow us, and we'll push through those waves that come against us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll make steady progress as we move forward in the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it starts storming, just keep pushing through. Let that wave push you. Let that wind and the breath of the Spirit keep pressing you on. and it'll keep you focused on God. Mm-hmm. And you know, the storms might be coming and blowing over us, but Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And he relaxed and rested in that word. And so what you and I have to do is to also relax and rest in the word of God and say, I don't care what so-and-so is saying about me. I want to hear what God is saying about
me. That's the important thing.
And if we know what we've done has been right, and we've done it with a heart of truth, with a desire to bless somebody and to encourage other people, and if we know we've done it with a right heart, a right spirit, a right motivation, then God says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Mm. And so it's important that we learn to do that. Mm. We haven't got very far, have we?
No.
That's the difference between Bible study and Bible reading.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Some people think, you know, I'll study Bible, it means get through 4 chapters in a day.
No. Sometimes,
you know, it's not, is it?
At the moment, I don't think we've got through 4 verses, have we?
Well,
you see, there's so much meat, there's so much depth in this that God wants you to grasp hold of. That, you know, James is writing to the early church, there's a lot of digging needs doing. You know, that they've come out of legalism and law, and to some degree partial paganism, because the way they were, the Pharisees and Sadducees had manipulated the law around them, they'd got them into a place of nearly idol worship in that sense. And so James is now digging and saying, you know, come on, love. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, right? And when he was on that cross, did he say to his father, strike him down, I've had him, you know? No, he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And in times there are people who say things and do things to us, and because of they're so stirred up because they've not let the word of God come into their lives, they don't know what they're doing. And you just have to say, well, Lord, I just give them to you, and Lord, you deal with them, and I'm just going to love them as you taught me to love them, and let God do what he needs to do. But don't get to the place where you're like a boat in the harbour and you're tied up and you're trying to get out because you're still connected to them.
Yeah,
you know, you're dragging it behind you. We aren't getting very far, are we? Engine's running, and why aren't we moving very far? You know, we just seem to get nowhere. No, because you're holding on to it. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Cut the tie and sail on.
Forgetting what's behind.
That's it, yeah. Oh, forgetting what's behind. Mm.
Pressing on. Sometimes people maybe not meant to be in your future, you know, whether they've served the purpose and that's it.
That's another good thing, Joan, to mention, that, yeah, that there are times when there are people who come into your life for a season. Mm-hmm. Mm. And then when that season's over, move on. Because they may not be able to cope with the next season, the next dimension that God moves you into.
Yeah.
They may not be able to cope with you moving on to that experience with God.
Yeah.
They themselves may not want to go into that, you see. And so you can't hold on to that, because they will stop you moving on to your next blessing, your next purpose, your next plan that God has for you. So sometimes there are people who pass through your life, and that's great, praise God, but move on. Don't fall out with them. Just follow the call. It was.
I think that's where I've been coming to.
I understand it, because we were in Bentley for 20 years, and there were certain people in that church that we went on holiday with. We were like this. We'd go and have meals together, and we were really, really close. So we thought. So we believed. We drove miles together, hadn't we? And then the moment that I went full time for God, somebody popped a pin in the relationship. And it just went... And it was like, what did we do wrong? We became... They didn't communicate with us. We would see them in church and there was no communication between us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like thinking, but I'm still here. I'm still Andrew, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Grace is still grace. We haven't changed. We're still capable of doing exactly what we did before. And more. Mm-hmm. No. And to this day, to this very day, that friendship has never been rekindled, has it?
Yeah. It was for time and a season.
But again, yeah, it was for time and a season. I have no malice towards them.
We enjoyed the time.
We enjoyed our time with them, so why get uptight about it? You know, miss it. Initially, yeah. There was this missing of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
right. And there's this thing of wondering why we can't understand it, because our mindset is not like that, you see. But, and you just... And to this day, I still don't understand it, but I don't focus on it.
Mm.
When I see them, I hug them and love them and praise God for them. Mm. Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Move on.
Okay.
And keep pressing on, you see. So they just, you know, these things happen. So we've gone through same sort of things, you know, and it's difficult to understand. When we left the church, it was like we died. And for 6 months I went through a grieving process and I couldn't understand the way I felt and what was going on in my life. And then the Lord explained it to me. And he said, it's like, you know, the simple explanation God gives to me, because I'm not complicated. And it was like all my family was in an aeroplane, right? And I wasn't on the plane. And it crashed. And they're all dead. I suddenly realised I was grieving for my spiritual family, but we had moved on,
mm-hmm.
right? And there was nothing else, and one had to learn that we'd moved on, get on with it now.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live in yesterday,
no.
Can't live in the great times of the past, and we did have some great times. You know, I tell you stories of the past and that,
mm-hmm.
and we did have some great times, and there were wonderful times. But there's much more to come.
Yeah, much land to possess.
Much land to possess. Mm. It's a pressing on. Abraham could have said the same, you know, when you left Ur of the Chaldees and left all his family behind.
Yeah.
He could have been on his way and think, well, hang on, I've just left this fabulous city. I've got a nice accommodation inside the city, you know, proper house and Sainsbury's down the road and there's Tesco around the other corner and, you know, got me Wi-Fi connections and everything all there happening and, you know, so on. And now I'm in the middle of the desert. They're in a Sainsbury's or a Tesco's. I can't get no signal on my Wi-Fi. You know, life stinks, doesn't it? And I'm living in a tent, you know.
No shower.
Yeah, no shower, praise God. I mean... Yeah, life stinks, doesn't it, sort of thing. What am I doing out here? What have I left behind? Right? And God says to him, come out here. What? I'm having a moan, I'm having a pity party. Come out here, he says. Just look at the stars. Anyway. Wow. He said, your family, your seed's going to be like all of that. So shut up moaning.
There'd be no light pollution there.
And there was no light pollution, I mean, you could see the stars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Grace and I went on a lake where there was no light pollution, and when you see it, you can just go...
Yeah.
It's just like billions of light bulbs, and some of them are so clustered together, it looks like a big light, and it's just like the Milky Way. I mean, first time I saw that, I'm like... And I'm sure you've seen it out in Nepal when there's been, you know, when there's no lights around and you look up at the sky and you see those stars and you think,
wow.
And you think, God made all of them for us,
yeah.
You know. And so, you know, God's saying to him, what are you going to moan about? You've got a great future ahead of you. You know, you're past rubbish. I've got a better signal for you in the future, you know. And so the past, we move on from that, and we thank God for it, but we keep pressing on, because God has got for us a better future. As, if we keep God in the centre, our future is secure. Our future's good. And even if we've had some difficulties in the past, God said, I've got a better future than your past even. Mm-hmm. Because God does far more exceedingly, abundantly better than previously. Mm-hmm. So we just rejoice. Mm-hmm. And keep pressing in. What verse did we get to?
14, 15. 16.
16 we get to, did we, somewhere?
Yeah, we're up to 17.
Up to 17. Go on, yeah.
I'm still on 14 and 15.
Oh, you're still on 14 and 15. Haven't you caught up with us yet?
Which in a minute.
Right. It says jealousy. That is like hatred, isn't it?
Yeah.
The opposite to that is love and generosity.
Yes.
Selfish ambition, it says in the margin, strife. So strife, selfish ambition, the opposite to that's going to be peace. Mm. And arrogance, the opposite to that's going to be meekness. Not weakness, meekness.
Yeah.
And the things that it's saying there, it tells you where the source of those are. It says in verse 15, it says, verse 15, it says, the earthly, that's of the flesh, the natural, it says in the margin, unspiritual, so the unspiritual, and then it actually says the demonic. Mm-hmm. So they're coming from a demonic source. So they're going to hold people, like they say, hold them prisoner. And hatred actually is self-destructive. It's always self-destructive. So it's telling us the source of all things, but it's, if you look at the opposite.
Well, that's what we're going to
do. They're all fruitful things, aren't they?
Yeah. That's right.
If, so yeah, so that's why we're still.
Yeah. Well, if we can get to the end of this chapter. We're trying to get to the end of the chapter, but that's okay. So, verse 16, we'll just recap on that. For whenever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambitions, rivalry, you know, that can be like between sister and brother, and sister and sister, and they're jostling for attention, and I'm better than you, and my this is like, you know, but it's not godly.
God, Dad don't love me as much as he loves me.
Well, that's right, yeah, you know.
Joyce
is
that.
Ah, well, there you go.
There you
go. But in truth, God, your father and your mother love you both just as much. But at times they have different ways of showing it, and at times you have different ways of extracting it. There's that little bit of manipulation of, oh, I know how to get round me dad. I know how to get round me mum. You know, play them off against one another, and these things happen. We were kids one day, you know. We knew how it's done. You know, we've been there, got the t-shirt and everything, you know. Lost as well at times, so. But, right, we better, let's get it. So, rivalry, selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. So that's what happens when jealousy and all that thing start, you know, it just starts a war within a family. I mean, even in this area of Yorkshire, you know, there are wars still in families because of a miners' strike some 30 years ago, right? And still not forgiving each other. The stupidity, the loss. Not, we're not talking about loss of money, but we're talking about the loss of relationship and quality life. You can never get that back. No. Never catch it back. You cannot catch time back.
No.
So live life, enjoy life now, and don't let the devil steal your time, because you can't get it back.
Yeah.
When it's gone, it's gone. Yeah. This is why the Bible says keep short accounts.
Don't drag it on. You know, don't fall out with somebody and keep dragging it on and on and on and on. I've lived in a situation like that, and it's like, I made a decision, I'm never going to be like that. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. If I fall out with somebody, okay, that's, I'm blown off, and then I'm going to have to apologise and just carry on from where I left off earlier and move on. Mm-hmm. I can't live my life on other people's responses directly. Mm-hmm. Because if I did, it would crush me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You might not believe this, most of you, I'm quite a sensitive person. Mm-hmm. And if I lived my life on sensitivity,
yeah,
then it would crush me.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot do that. Yes, I can get easily hurt, but then I have a choice to make. Do I allow that hurt to continue to dig its way into me, like a sore? Or do I allow God to say, it's okay, son, I'll cover it. Just forgive. Come on. And that's what one has to learn to do. The only person that really suffers would be me, because that other person doesn't even realise that...
They don't even know you married them.
Yeah.
Get on with their lives while you're suffering.
Yeah. I mean, there are times when they don't even realise they've offended you, or what they've done to you for whatever reason. It doesn't compute in their mind within them, so it has no effect on them whatsoever. So you have to come to God and say, Lord, I know I'm sensitive. I know I, you know, can get upset by these things. Lord, deal with it within me, help me to forgive and to move on from this. And God says, okay, and we move on and we live. And you see, what are we going to focus on? Do we focus on being rejected for 6 months? Or do we focus on the fact that God accepts us for eternity?
Yeah. I know sometimes I've gone to experience things and you said, oh Lord, that hurt, that really hurt that, but I'm going to leave it with you and let
exactly.
you, you know. And
yeah.
then you just
untie yourself then, don't
you? Mm-hmm. You see, God pours in the oil of healing, you see, into our lives. And that's what we have to do. We have to let these things just... God, it's yours. You've got to deal with this. And so we move on. So we'll get to verse 17 now.
We keep
trying. Yeah, we might make it. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, free from wavering and free from insincerity. Amplified does it well, actually. Amplified does it well. That's why I brought the Amplified tonight, because it really brings it out, what God really is trying to say to us, and just digs a little bit deeper into. But the first thing it says here, but first of all, but the wisdom from above. And this is what we need. In these situations, we need God's wisdom.
Yeah.
We don't need our own, because our own turns around and says, right, I'll know what I'm going to do. I'll sort them out, you know. I'll give them a piece of my mind, or I'll do this and I'll do that against them, and they'll know that I've attacked them, and they'll know they'll. But that's not wisdom from God. And so the boy of God says this, but the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God says, is what? It comes out with, first of all, it's pure. So there's no hatred in it. There's no malice. There's no envy. There's no greed. There's no jealousy. There's nothing wrong with wisdom from
it's
above.
Love,
it's pure.
Love
it's pure. And love forgives. And so there it comes out. And so straight away, it's peace and it's loving. Right? And I'll tell you what, when they're warring against you and you start pouring peace and love on them, they just don't know what to do. It's like heaping coals of fire on their head.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pray for your enemies.
Pray for your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Love them. You know, it's just heaping coals of fire on their head because they can't cope with it. They're just like, I've tried everything to make them mad. I've tried everything to goad them and to, you know, to draw them into a fight of some sort. And it's like, it's not worth it. I ain't got time to mess with you. It's like I said the other week, I said about Nehemiah, you know, and Sanballat and Tobiah saying, come down here, you know. Come on. And he's like, I ain't got time to mess with you guys. I'm not trading petty blows. And I've got a project. I've got God's project on my heart and mind. And I'm just focused on that. You know, forget your bickering. I'm not interested in it. And he built the wall. They mocked him. And they said, as soon as he gets that up, the fox will run up and the thing will just collapse. That's what they said. These foxes will just come on the wall and just fall over. And he said, watch us, just watch us. Because we ain't got time to mess with you. And sometimes you've got to come to that point, it's like, I ain't got time to mess. I've got so much before me in the things of God, I just got to keep moving on. And you press on and you move on. And God just begins to. There are people that come into your life and the devil sends them along, he's going to waste your time.
Sidetracking. Yeah. Distracting you all the time.
You know, you have a project to do and they're there, nibbling at you. Yeah. All the time. You're thinking, come on. You know, like having a little terrier. Kind of much damage. And go on. I mean, if you kicked it hard, you'd launch it, you know. And sometimes that's what we've got to do with the devil. He's there going, he's going on about something. And he's going to turn around saying, the name of Jesus, give you a good boot and launch him, you know. And by the time he's got enough energy to come back, you've gone. You know, he stood there going, what happened? And you've walked on and said, forget it, you know. And you've won. This is what you've got to do sometimes.
See what it is.
So, pressing on. Verse 18. Well, before we go to verse 18, we've got to just remember, we've got to stay full of compassion. And in full of compassion, there's good fruit. And we've got to be wholehearted for God. Don't be partial. Don't try sitting on the fence and saying, oh, I'm, you know, 100%. God's looking for the 100%ers. That's what he's looking for. They're the disciples, the 100%ers. And God's looking for that. And he's looking for that in you and me. That's the power of commitment to him and to the work of the kingdom. And so, you know, we're free from doubt. We don't doubt what we're doing. We know what we're doing is right because God's placed it in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We're not wavering, you know. Doubt causes you to, oh, shall I, shan't I, will I, won't I, you know. We don't do that. I made my decision, I'm doing it. When I quit my job, I wrote my notice out on the Sunday night. The next day, I had 3 days in bed sick. And guess who called on me?
Terrier.
The little terrier. And said, you know, nobody's seen that yet. Only one person has seen it, Ellen. And he said, you know, he said, you can tear that up and nobody will know. Because Ellen won't tell anybody. Nobody will know. And you can just carry on working where you're working and it'll all be fine. And you'll be right. And it's true. There was no lie in that. I could tear that up. But there was a lie in it because somebody would know. And that person was God. Mm-hmm. And that was the most important person in my life. So I couldn't tear it up. Oh, I tell you, when you're not feeling well and you've got a little dog at your heels all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's when you use your
crumble. And that is, when you use the crumble. Well, I tell you, I dragged myself out of bed and got a doctor's note and went to work. Took my doctor's note, gave my boss my doctor's note first of all. I said, all right, okay, so you're going to be off a couple of weeks. It looks like it, yeah. And then I said, oh, by the way, I've got something else for you. And I gave him my notice in, and he looked at it, and I'd written that basically I was quitting and I was going to work for God. And he says, oh, so you've got another job, have you? I mean, does God pay NI and what have you? And
minimum wages
and what have you.
Extremely minimum in my
case. And I tell you, you know, he sort of looked and he said, oh, so you've got another job, have you? And I said, no. What do you mean, no? He says, you're working for God. I said, you know, I'm thinking, they don't believe in God, but now he suddenly thinks God's got me a job. So I said, no, I said, I'm just quitting. I'm just going to leave my life open now for service for God in his kingdom. And he looked at me and said, here, he said, I think you ought to go and have another think about that. I said, no. And I said, that's it. I said, I've finished. That's it. I'm over. It's over and done with. I said, I know what I'm doing. And that's where we started from, right? See, so we can do 18.
Yeah, yours is a lot longer than mine.
Yeah, amplified.
Well, amplified.
Amplified.
I'm not going to say what I usually say about amplified. I'm not going to say what I usually say about amplified.
A woman translate.
It's for a woman. It's translation.
I use one when I can tell
you. Well, I use one when you can use 10. Exactly. But the fact is, it's bringing out. It's a bringing out of some depth of the word that's important. And so verse 18 says, and the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed. Wow, that's a statement. Righteousness, a harvest of righteousness, conforming to God's will and thought and deed. That's lining yourself up with God. Wow. The fruit of the seed. The seed that's sown in you. Salvation. The seed of Jesus Christ sown in you. Right? The fruit of it is coming out now, you see. That you're not being caught, you're not conformed to this world, but you're being transformed from this world into the presence of God. The fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace. It's been sown in peace. We're back to the Prince of Peace. Without him we can't live in peace. Without him we can't know peace. And so, sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace which means accord, agreement, harmony between individuals. Well, that's what we've been saying all the time, ain't it? It's an agreement between each other that we're going to live in peace.
Amen.
We're going to live in harmony. We're not going to let little skirmishes and scuffles and little dogs that come nattering at his heels upset the peace, the harmony and the unity that God has got for us. With undisturbedness, in a peaceful mind, free from fear and agitating passions and moral conflict. We're going to be free from fear. We're going to be free from agitations. Things that keep, you know, just trying to get you to do something wrong. Trying to distract you. And from moral conflicts. You know, we've talked about families and they have conflicts and that, and they have conflicts within their families. And then we move on to the fact the world brings its morals against the morals of God, and there's a conflict that goes on. And people say, well, it's all right. They do it in the world, so it's all right to do it in the church.
No, it's not.
And I'm sorry, it's not. Week last Friday, I was walking, we were doing Teen Challenge, and I was walking, I had to go on, it was last Friday, sorry, last Friday. I was walking through from Teen Challenge, I had to go and meet somebody, to meet that lady from Romania. Mm-hmm. Not that she'd walked all the way from Romania, that's, she'd only just come down the road from Doncaster. Mm-hmm. But I'd got to meet her, and as on the way walking down the street, I suddenly saw somebody and I recognised them immediately. I don't think they would have recognised me, and I didn't make myself known to them. But that person had been to the church once, professed to be a Christian on fire for God, looking for a church where they could really get involved, etc. I only saw him once here. And that Friday, there they were, stood outside a certain place, a cigarette in one hand and a pint in the other, mixing with the world. And I really felt, at one stage, part of me felt like going up and saying, how far you were fallen. You know, for what you said you had sights on, to what you are now, today. You're in control, you're being controlled by a little white stick and a glass. And you've come down to that level of authority that controls your life. I was saddened about it, actually, when I saw it. Because I saw, you know, this person... Because everyone I meet, I look at and I think, wow, what a potential you've got for the kingdom of God. Because when we hand over what we've got, God just multiplies it and increases it and increases it and increases it. And it's astounding what God can do. What God can do, Jesus showed us, when this little boy came with five loaves and two fishes. Right? And I mean, we're not talking five Sainsbury loaves, you know, sliced. We're talking about little, thin, pita breads type thing. Okay? That's what we're talking about. And we weren't talking about, you know, a nice big salmon. We're talking about a couple of small fish.
I'm just going to say, when you said that, sorry, I don't want to interrupt them, because I have this testimony about a lady in Costa Rica, and this pastor was giving them out money, and they give one $17, one $15, and they give this lady $13. She said, oh, I don't want you to, can't do anything, like the talent. So she said, he says, no, go on, have it. She says, no, I can't do anything. My husband's left me. I've got three children. What can I do? So they give it. She took the money anyway. She says, there's nothing I can do. I can only make pancakes. So I said, well, go and make pancakes for your children. Anyway, she started making them, so she's going to town and sell them. She started her own business, catering business, and then all the neighbourhood was thriving, and then the leader of the country sent her and says, what are you doing? Can you come over here and near to the capital and start something there? And that's all from making pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like the fish, got. Give it to God, I mean.
Exactly. And so they see this little boy, and Andrew, my namesake, says, Lord, he said, look, got a little boy here. Well, I got a little youngster here, and they've got five loaves and two fishes. But, he just had a moment of doubt. But what is that? With all this crowd, there's 5,000 men, plus the wives and the kids. So there could be 20,000 people. Yeah. And now we're going to feed them with five little cakes and two small tiddlers. Jesus says, right. And he takes it and he blesses it and he begins to break it. And they take out the disciples and they have them sit in 50s and they go around and feed them all. And everybody's full. He says, now go and collect up the leftovers. And they come back with 12 baskets full of leftovers. Whoa! Can you imagine this kid where he went home with a bag of... Mum said to him, haven't you had your dinner?
Yeah. Where you got all that from?
Yeah. Yeah, Mum, I have. Look what happened to it. I gave it to Jesus and this is what he did with it. We've got food for a week. Food for a week. We can feed village, even. It's like the woman with in the Old Testament wanted to buy her sons back. And the prophet says to her, what have you got? I've got a jug of oil left. That's the only thing I've got in the house. Well, he says, go and collect every empty vessel there is in this town. And then go into your house and start pouring. And don't stop until you've filled every vessel. He said, and then go and sell it. And so she filled every vessel. And then she went out and sold, and she had enough money to buy her sons back and to live the rest of her life in comfort. That's the blessing of God.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of God. That's living how God wants you to live. That's letting God have his way and letting God move. And so it's dealing with fear, it's dealing with conflict, and when you deal with all of those, God just begins to move. He changes everything. And blesses us beyond measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, keep this right. Keep your tongue right. Keep your thinking straight. Watch what you're looking at. Watch what you're listening to. Be careful what you listen to. And put Jesus right in the centre of it. Don't get tied up with arguments and disputes with other people. But just move on into the things of God and just bless people. Just bless them and watch God work in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, you can only control your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can control it. Even your sister can't control it. Only you can control it. Out there somewhere are great blessings.
Amen.
Out there somewhere is a great future in God. It's coming towards us and we're going towards it. And so those that are on board will receive the blessings. Those that aren't on board will suffer their own consequences.
Yeah.
It won't be about what I've done, because it's about what they've done. What you sow, you reap. Yeah, and we've said that earlier. So let's keep pressing on, let's keep praising God, and let's, you know, let's keep focused, let's deal with... Deal with yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're struggling and you need to talk to somebody older who's been there and done it or had that problem. Don't go and talk to somebody else who, you know, is going through the same situation. It's like, forget it. They haven't got a clue. They haven't got out of theirs yet.
Yeah.
Not going to work.
They're going to make a mess of it.
They'll probably make a mess of it. They haven't made a mess of theirs yet. They're still sort of trying to. But keep moving on in God. Keep pressing on in God. And you'll see great things in the future. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if it's a big dog that comes against you, give it a good kick.
Chucky the boy.
Chucky the donut, and that will fix it. The Polish donut deals with them marvellously. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you've been blessed and encouraged.